As Mr. Gardenhire was has more than adequately told us, there is a spirit in man. There is a spirit in man. And what I want to do now, I want to tell you that it's possible to have God's Holy Spirit too. So we're going to try to compare the two. We're going to try to compare the spirit in man with the spirit, God's Holy Spirit, that can be given to us people. It can be given to us. But later, and when I say later, I mean after church, after you go home, after you get on your internet, if you want to, you can go to ucg.org and get the straight poop, you know, because what I'm going to give you is going to be a little bit of an abbreviation. But if you go to ucg.org, you can type in the Holy Spirit, God's transforming power. And it's got way too much information that I can give to you in the few minutes that I have. So what is God's Holy Spirit? What is it? God's Holy Spirit is the power of God. And God's Spirit, the power of God, can live in our lives. It can animate our lives. But God's Holy Spirit is special and unique in one particular way, and if you want to write this down, you could. It is only given to the called and chosen children of God. It's not given to every human. It's only given to the called and chosen children of God. It's more rare than gold or diamonds. So we need to appreciate it if we have it. And this is scary, but it's true. It can be lost. If you receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit, if you've taken into you the gift of God's Holy Spirit, that does not automatically mean you're okay forever. You can lose it. Don't do it. Don't lose God's Holy Spirit. I said God's Holy Spirit is given to the called and chosen. But there's one other point. There's one other point that I have to bring out. Because many are called, few are chosen, but still those few, you know, that's a number. Many are called, but few are chosen. But there's one other point. Even fewer remain faithful to the end. So you had to be called, you have to be chosen, but you have to remain faithful until the end. Okay, now let's begin with God's Word. Title of the message is The Holy Spirit, God's Transforming Power. I want you to remember that, because if you type that in at ucg.org, you'll get a really good message. Now, what's the word transforming mean? God's transforming spirit. What does transforming mean? I see some young people here. I like them. See some young people over here. I like them too. Any of you ever see that movie, The Transformers? I mean, I saw that a long time ago, you know, when I was younger. But I want to talk about that just a little bit. Because UCG chose that, God's transforming power. Don't you think those people that thought up that title knew something about Transformers? Yeah, they did. So what did they do? What did these Transformers do? Well, the way I like to say it, you know, the way I wrote it down in my notes, if I looked at them, is there's these little cars. They look like a car, you know, and you can get a model. I have one of those at home. You got a little model, and then bam, the thing turns into a robot. It transforms almost immediately into something not always good. The thing that it transformed into was not always good, but it happened very quickly. I don't think that the people at UCG.org want you or me to think that the transformation that God wants us to go through is instantaneous, because it's not. It's not instantaneous. You know how I can prove that? I'm not done yet. I'm not done being changed. You know when I am done? I better go to my next page, because I know what it says on the next page, but I'm faking it. I'm done when I'm dead. So if you're not dead yet, God is not finished with your transformation yet. You're still in the process. We we're still breathing, who have the spirit of man still in us, hasn't returned to God that gave it yet. We're still alive, and that means we're still working on the transformation. Okay, said enough. Let's go to the scripture. Let's go to Romans. If you have a Bible with you, I have my old Bible. You know, the last time I spoke, I brought my new Bible up here and it wouldn't work. I kept trying to turn the pages and they wouldn't go right, because this one has been worked in, you know, and it works. So let's go to Romans 8, and we'll read two scriptures, 13 and 14. And in this case, I'm going to read them from the NIV. Romans 8, verse 13 says, "If you live according to the flesh, you will die." I live according to the flesh, so do you. But thing is, if Christ doesn't return before you die, you will die. But that's not bad. That's not the end of the story. Verse 13, "But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live." Now, that's a metaphor. I know we have to explain it. You know, you put to death the deeds of the body. You come out of the world. You try to live the way that you've been taught to live properly. That is putting to death the deeds of the world. And that's not easy. It's not easy to do, but by that you can live. Verse 14, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." And I want you to notice something there. It says that you are the children of God. It doesn't say you will become the children of God. It says you're the children of God right now. You are the children of God. If you live by God's Holy Spirit, you are the children of God right now. You just don't look like you're going to look down the road. You know, you're going to look a whole lot better down the road. We will be changed. But the thing is, you are the children of God right now. What does God expect of his children? I want you to think, if you ever had children, we had a couple children. We had some children. They're all grown up. They have children of their own now. What did you expect, ma'am, of the 7 or 8 kids that you had? You expected certain things. You taught them things. You expected things from them. But, and here's the point I want to make, you didn't expect a 2-year-old to multiply and divide, did you? They hadn't been taught that yet. So we are the children of God right now, but we do not yet, we haven't yet acquired all the abilities that we must have just to make it through this life and then be changed to spirit beings down the road. Okay. Now, Mr. Gardenhire spoke about the spirit in man. Hopefully, we all have the spirit. We all have the spirit of man right now. We're living beings. But unfortunately, there are people, and perhaps you know some, I've known some, that their human spirit is not all there. It's tragic, but true. True nonetheless. Very sad. It's Let's go back to that transformer metaphor. I love metaphor. Let's go back to that transformer metaphor. Remember how the car, I should have brought my transformer up here, I have one of those. It's going along like that, and bam, it hits something, it turns into a robot instantaneously, very quickly. We are not robots. We're not transformers either, but we do have to transform in our life. Once again, it's going to take some time. Okay, let's go to Romans 8:14 again. I want to point out something that I heard this read many times, but I didn't think about it. And that is, those who are led by the Spirit are the children of God right now. Not tomorrow, not down the road, not in the world beyond today, but right now. And that's because we're not robots. I have to think, I don't know if I wrote down this scripture, that it says that Jesus learned by and through and with the things that he endured, you know, over time. And I think, wait a minute. I thought Jesus was God. Wasn't he God? What did he have to learn? Well, even though he was the creator word, he spoke and it existed, he still had to learn certain things. You know what he learned? Come on, raise your hand if you... You don't have to yell at me, but yeah, you can think, what did Jesus learn? Well, okay. Oh, David, are you raising your hand? Oh, no, he was scratching his head, but I thought he was raising his hand. Rich raised his hand. What did he learn? He learned obedience, but what's it say? By the things which he endured, right? Did he endure that it was really delicious to eat bread and cheese or whatever he ate, you know? Do you have to endure enjoying a good meal as we did at Victor's house last night? Yeah, do you have to endure that? No, it's a pleasure. So what did Jesus learn? Jesus went through suffering. He hurt. He became physical. He went through life. When he stubbed his toe, he felt it. An angel didn't reach down, you know, and stop him from hurting. He hurt. And that was absolutely necessary because he was going to go through, you know, suffering on the cross. Those things, you know. He was going to feel everything that you feel and I feel. And as the scripture said, he learned by what he went through. What about you or me? How do I learn? I hate suffering. I really do. I don't fear death. Death is, boom, you go to sleep, you know, and then someday you're resurrected. But I hate suffering. I really do. Even little bits. Lady over there knows. She takes good care of me. And knows how much I complain when I hurt. Jesus had to go through that. He had to go through that because he is our advocate. And when he talks to the Father, he talks about what he's gone through personally. Okay. Let's go to God's Word again. Go to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, and we'll read verses 9 to 11. It is written, Paul writes, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, this is a metaphor, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But don't go to the next verse. Don't go to the next verse. Just think. Paul is saying, you know, you haven't thought about it. You have thought. I know you think. You think a lot. But you haven't been able to figure out all the things that God's got coming down the road when the kingdom is here, when Jesus returns to earth, or even after that. You haven't been able to figure it out. But now I want to read one other verse. Because without God's Holy Spirit, humans, they can't really understand certain aspects of God's word. But now let's go on to that next verse. And this is the one that I hadn't thought about a lot. But God has revealed something to us through His Spirit, through God's Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? The one that Mr. Gardenhire was talking about. If you have a human spirit, you can learn many things. But you can't learn certain spiritual things unless you have God's Holy Spirit. Now, if we've read verse 10 properly, it tells us that God's Holy Spirit reveals the deep things of God. So I have to ask, and I was asking myself as I was preparing this, what are the deep things of God? You know, what are some of the deep things of God? I know some of you have God's Holy Spirit. What are some of the deep things of God that God has revealed to you? Do you ever think about that? Yeah, she thinks about it all the time. But all of us, if we think about it, realize that God has opened our mind to certain deep things that our friends, even our relatives that aren't converted, they don't understand. So what's one of them? Well, let's think of one of them. Think of the seventh-day Sabbath. You know, did you ever talk to anybody that, you know, you kind of like, and they kind of like you, and you talk about the Sabbath, and they go, yeah, big deal. Say, well, you know, God wants to be worshipped. Yeah, big deal, I go on Sunday. So what? Wait a minute. Why do you understand? Think about it. Why do I understand that the Sabbath is important? Why? Because the Spirit of God, I believe I have God's Spirit, the Spirit of God that animates us can open our minds to things so simple. So simple. I know Mr. Gardenhire has read all these Greek books and all these Hebrew books and all these things. You can get people in the world that are brilliant, PhD, DDD, DDT, or whatever it is, you know, that they have, you know? Intelligent people, and they will tell you the same things that that I'm saying right now. They'll tell you that, but they won't believe it. They'll believe it. So what? Sabbath, you know, it's Saturday, Sunday is as good, you know. The scripture says it will be revealed to those who have God's Holy Spirit. If you have God's Holy Spirit, then you will understand. And there isn't any getting around it. That's why God gives us and why we must have God's Holy Spirit. We, God's people, actually know that the seventh-day Sabbath is important, you know. And we don't argue about it, because I've tried for 50 years to argue with my brother, and he goes, you know. And my wife tells me, you've been arguing for 50 years, Skip, and where has it gotten you? In trouble. Let's move right along. Let's go to John 16 now, and just listen to this. When the Spirit of truth has come, this is John writing, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. See all those he's and his's? Mr. Gardenhire will, after services, explain to you how Greek and in English, you know, nouns or subjects and objects have to agree with the verb. And there's a reason why it says his, because I want to tell you something now. The Holy Spirit is not a person. Holy Spirit's not a person. You all know that. You all say, well, why don't you just sit down and quit? Because we all know that. The Holy Spirit's not a person. Outside the doors, there are millions of people that believe the Holy Spirit is a person. Would you be able to talk to them just, you know, like a friend, and explain, the Holy Spirit's not a person, it's the power of God. Okay, let's go to Philippians 13. Because John 13, that takes a lot of explanation, but it has to do with Greek agreement between nominative and verb, or subject and verb. Philippians 4, verse 13. Paul here, writing to the Philippians, says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, here's a question that I ask myself. Did Paul see or hear or feel Jesus? Well, maybe once in a while. He had some experiences that I've not had. But the Spirit of God motivated him every time he spoke to the Philippians or the Galatians or the Romans or whoever he was speaking to. This is the Spirit that can animate us. You don't have to see a being in front of you to be motivated by the Spirit of God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. When Jesus walked the earth as a person, he didn't see his Father. He wasn't having, what did the Catholics say, beatific visions all the time. But he knew and was animated by that Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit is power and understanding and correct judgment. These attributes are conveyed in a way that is not physically explainable. But God does not leave their family powerless. Jesus promised he would come to them and to us in spirit before he returns to earth in power, which he will do down the road. And there's much more that I must leave unsaid, but like I said, there's a plethora of information at ucg.org under that heading that I gave you. You can read it online. I want to close, with a couple of powerful scriptures or two. First, I want to go to Galatians 5, 22 and 23, which you have all heard read many times. But I want to read them for a different reason. I want to read these gifts, fruits of the Holy Spirit for a different reason. Because we are supposed to be exhibiting these. If you're not exhibiting these at least once in a while, if you never show any of the fruits of God's Holy Spirit, maybe you don't have God's Holy Spirit. I mean, that's a rhetorical thought, but it's a horrible, scary thought. These fruits are the way that we know that we have God's Holy Spirit. So I want to go ahead and read them. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. It's the way I'm reading it in whatever translation I chose. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. Now I want to go to the last scripture. That's 2 Peter 1. Last scripture. It's going to take about 10 or 15 minutes, so hold on to your seats. 2 Peter 1. I'm going to read several scriptures here. 2 Peter 1, but I'm going to start at verse 3. By His divine power, God has given us everything, everything we need to live a godly life. We have received all this by coming to know Him, by coming to know God, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. God alone is glorious and excellent. Verse 4, and because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. You know, you have these promises, but one of the promises is we're being imbued, given to us right now, God's Holy Spirit, to do something with it. We're supposed to do something with it. These are the promises that enable you and me to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Do you have human desires? I have human desires. It's not wrong to have human desires, but they can overwhelm you and you can be corrupted by your desire for more. I want more. Okay, verse 5. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. I want some moral excellence. And supplement your moral excellence with knowledge of what's in God's Word. And knowledge of what's in God's Word with self-control. Self-control. And self-control with patient endurance. There's that word again. We have to make it until we're dead. And patient endurance with godliness. What is godliness? Well, you have to get your Bible helps, and you have to look up what godliness is, and then you have to go, do I have that? How do I get that? And verse 7, and godliness with brotherly affection. I think you know what that means. You got to care about other people. And brotherly affection with love for everyone. Verse 8. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But, listen to this, verse 9, but those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, that's worse, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. Verse 10, so dear brothers and sisters, work hard. I like that. Work hard. Don't just sit on your duff and say, I'm glad I've been baptized and have received God's Holy Spirit. It says work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus is returning to the earth to set up that kingdom. I want to be a part of it. You want to be a part of it. Brethren, if we've been given the gift of God's Holy Spirit, we will be working hard to show that we have it. If no one ever notices God's Spirit in you, maybe you don't have it.